Hey everyone, Trey here, back with another episode of Stingers and Dingers. Sorry this one is a day late. I am heading out of town this week, so been a little bit busy packing for that. But let's get into the last week in golf news. So the first thing that I wanted to pull up was the Challenge Japan skin. So for those of you who don't know, there was a PGA tournament that's being hosted in Japan this year in October. And a lot of the big stars are heading up there. The purse is pretty big, and I think to add on to that, the Japan side of the PGA Tour is setting up a skins game between Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, and Tiger Woods. This is interesting for a couple reasons. I think the first thing is that this is a skins game that's been popularized, hasn't been around for a long time. If you guys remember a while back, they used to do like Champions Tour skins games where they used to play in Vegas, and there used to be a couple of different other skins games. They used to be on TV a bunch. And we don't see that much anymore. I don't know if the popularity died or if there wasn't enough money from sponsors or what was going on. But I'm really excited because I think skins is one of the most interesting formats because you are technically winning money. And so you are forcing yourself to really go after pin placements and not play safe. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this does. The format is kind of interesting. So the opening six holes are going to be $10,000 each, with the value of the holes increasing as the match continues. There is potential that the 18th hole is going to be worth $100,000, which will be really interesting to see. Apparently, it is scheduled to finish under lights, so under artificial lights, so it'll be dark by the time they finish. And we'll include a bunch of different in-match challenges and surprises. This should be on the Golf Channel, I believe. Yes. So this will be on the Golf Channel for those of us out in the U.S. Outside of the U.S., it'll be on Discovery's Golf TV. I think, let me see what time it starts. So it starts October 20th at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the coverage. So it'll be 8 p.m. Pacific Time, which will be great because I'll be able to watch this at night. Honestly, I'm really excited for this. There's been a hole in the golf world for a skins game for a long time, and the fact that we were able to get some really big names, Jason Day, Tiger, Hideki, and Rory in it, I think will be huge. Obviously, Hideki is the biggest player outside of Japan right now playing, or in Japan that's playing on the PGA Tour right now. Rory, Jason, and Tiger are obviously very popular around the world. So exciting. Hopefully it goes well so we can see more of these in the future. In the world of golf tech, so Hanma launched their new XP1 series driver, fairway woods, and hybrid. In terms of the way that the Hanma looks, it looks similar to like some of the older TaylorMades that had that little like speed slot right behind the face. I think that's to keep the ball speed up on the driver if you were to hit the bottom of the face and hit a little bit thin. The crown is carbon fiber. There are some weight and adjustable head options for it as well. It looks like there's a new face orientation or a new hosel. So when you have like the new TaylorMades, Callaways, etc., they have the new hosel adjuster for loft lie, etc. Interesting to see. Apparently, with the new XP1. And for Honma only, it has a hosel that will change the face angle lie aloft, but it will never change the orientation in the shaft. So what that means is if you think about when you set your grip normally on a club, and then you adjust the setting on the hosel, it'll change the way and it will rotate the grip so that when you're holding it standard, it'll be a little bit twisted. It looks like that's not going to be the case with the Honma new hosel system. So curious as to how that's actually going to work. In terms of the fairway woods, the XP1 looks very similar. I don't think there's really anything much to talk about here. The crown looks pretty classic. There's no lines on the top of it. Carbon fiber on the crown. It will include 3, 5, and 7 woods. And then the hybrids, which also look pretty similar as well. It looks like the hybrids will come in a 19 degree, which is adjustable, a 22 degree, and a 25 degree. The fairway wood will come in a 15 degree, a 19 degree, and a 20, I think it's a 23 is a 7 wood. And then the driver itself will come in 9.5, 10.5, and high launch 12 degrees. These are right hand only specs. I'm not sure what, if any, left hand specs will come out for this. So something we need to keep on the eye here for all you lefties out there. All right. Next up in club news, the XP1 irons. So the XP1 irons are getting released as well. To be honest, they look pretty good. They kind of look like almost like JPXs in a way. If you take a look at the back, like the 919 JPXs, if you look at them from the back, it kind of looks similar in terms of that shaping. Similar to a lot of irons nowadays, they are doing more hollow forged irons in like the 4-7 iron to make it a little bit more forgiving and higher launch. As well, for stability reasons, the short irons are going to be just a standard, you know, cavity back design on them for maximum forgiveness. Let me see if there's anything else really on these. I mean, it's interesting seeing what's going on with the Honma stuff, mostly because, you know, Justin Rose is playing these guys now, and so they are trying to become more of a global player versus just a Japan only player. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with these. So they do have a women's editions and men's editions of these irons. The men's editions are from 4-iron to an 11, which is technically a pitching, or I guess would be a gap wedge, I would assume. Whereas the 10 would be the pitching wedge. I can't necessarily zoom in on this right now, but it looks like all the lofts are pretty strong. 7-iron's stuck at 30 degrees and the 8-iron's at 34.5. So the 8-iron would be more of a traditional 7-iron loft, so a little bit strong. The pitching wedge will be at 42 degrees, so you will need a pretty big gap wedge in there. But yeah, interesting to see how these guys take over in the market. Always interesting to see when another golf company really decides to come into the space and make a push like this. The last one I can really think of that made a big push is probably Srixon. I had to think of a company who's trying to make a push in the last 10 years. So, we'll see how they go. All right. Now getting into some minor tour news / club manufacturer news. So we do have a signing of Callaway for Akshay Bhatia. So for those guys who don't know, Akshay Bhatia was a high schooler and one of the top amateurs in the country. He was on the Walker Cup team this year, winning two of the matches, and he was the youngest player to ever compete in the Walker Cup. So definitely some big pieces here for someone so young. I think, you know, the biggest story here is that he's been, you know, hyped up a lot in terms of just, like, you know, coming back and performing and wanting to take his game to the next level. He's already competed in a lot of the most major tournaments in terms of amateurs. He's competed in the USAM. He's won back-to-back junior PGA championships. I believe he won the junior AM as well. I could be wrong. But overall, I think this was an interesting signing because, you know, someone being so young and taking on a sponsorship from Callaway and not going the college route to work on his skills for a couple years and going pro, I think will be interesting to see how he plays. From what I understand, he does have a couple of sponsor exemptions on the tour. He played last week. He played last week at the Sanderson's Farm Championship. He did miss the cut, but it'll be interesting to see how he performs the next couple weeks and to see if he can get his tour status more finite moving forward, or I guess more infinite in that regard. In terms of the clubs he's playing, he is playing a really, really sexy set of Apex blades all the way up to, I believe, 5-iron, and then he has some X-forged driving irons from 4 and 3-iron. He has a Callaway Epic Flash Sub-Zero driver and 3-wood. The 3-wood is a 3+, so I think that sits at like 13.5. And one of his driving irons is an 18 degree and one's a 21, so that'll be a 2-iron and a 3-iron respectively. But interested to see how he performs, you know, wishing all the best for him. You know, obviously if we can see another phenom come up through the ranks pretty quickly, it'd be really awesome to see, you know, awesome to see these guys have to compete against each other. All right. Next in, I guess company news. Steph Curry and Under Armour did launch their new SC30 range of golf shoes. This is big because this is someone who is technically outside of the sport, who is coming into golf and trying to make a bigger splash in here. So if you look at the golf shoes themselves, they actually look really cool. They kind of look like a mixture of like Yeezys and almost like an Adicross. They do feature, they are spiked. They're not the traditional spikes where you can crank them off. They are like the little tiny, more frequent soft spikes. They look good. The only thing that I would say about them is that because they are knit, I don't know how waterproof they are, but interested to see how they look on the course and to see what people from the Under Armour range are going to be playing them. I doubt Jordan Spieth would be playing them. These are very much not his style. So curious to see if any other staffers from the Under Armour piece end up picking them up. Looks like they're going to be $160 a piece to start. And they're called the Curry 6 SLs. So there should be some more coming out in terms of like upperwear or tops, bottoms, and outerwear. But I haven't seen too much of those. Really the big thing that I noticed was the golf shoe. All right. Hopping into more club news. So club news, we have the Cleveland Launcher UHX irons. So these are going to be for your high handicappers. So they are going to be forgiving. They are going to be big. They are going to be strong. They're going to be pretty much a non-player's iron. In terms of the way that they look, I don't know how I feel about these, to be honest. They look a little bit bulky, but that's because, you know, I play blades mostly. They do have some offset on them. The back of them looks a little bit interesting. Like I think it's probably for weighting purposes. If you guys pull up a picture of these, they have, you know, a couple, like a three slot utility hollow thing on the back of it. I do like that satin finish that they have on there. I think it looks really good. Cleveland coming out with game improvement irons, nothing too crazy here. It looks like they will be in four to pitching wedge. Let's see if there's anything else really on these. I think that's pretty much it. Oh, so they are officially launching on October 4th, and the seven-piece steel set will be $799, where the graphite set will be $899 for the seven-piece set. So interesting to see this space, as you know, a lot of companies are trying to figure out if they can take over the spot that Adams left a hole in a couple years back when TaylorMade absorbed them. On that same note with Cleveland, we do have the HB Turbo irons featuring a turbocharged face insert. Really, these are hybrid irons. I don't think there's anything crazy here. If you take a look at them, they're a mixture of a hybrid and an iron. I think the face is very iron focused, but it looks like a hybrid. This is very much outside my forte. But I think if you're game improvement and looking to feel more confident, and you feel more confident with a hybrid in your hand than with an iron in your hand, these might be good for you. Some of the high handicappers, I'm looking at you. Overall, it has that high bore crown, which has that little, like, almost like a cut taken out of it, out of the back. The face is matte with some, like, satin on the sides. They look very technologically savvy. Like, these look like some serious technology put in these irons. I don't know how they would play or how they would end up, so it'll be interesting to see how they actually sell. This is a space that I don't think does all that well. So I'll be curious to see if Cleveland actually stays in this space. Last thing is congrats on Sebastian Munoz. I'm sorry for butchering your name. On winning the 2019 Sanderson's Farm Championship. So made a big push on the last couple holes, went into a playoff. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but the gentleman who did lose had a kind of a shaky putt to miss in order for Sebastian to take the win. Honestly, I didn't follow this tournament all that much. There wasn't really that much that was interesting in here besides Akshay playing in it. So, and he actually missed the cut. So after that, I kind of stopped following the tournament a little bit. But congrats on Sebastian. Overall, his bag is super interesting. He is a ping guy, but he plays a Callaway Epic Flash Hybrid or Epic Flash 3-Wood instead of a ping G400 or G410 LST 3-Wood. So curious as to the reason why that's the case. The other thing is he only plays one ping wedge. He plays the ping Stealth as a 50-degree gap wedge, and he plays the Vokey SM7s for the sand and the lob wedge, 56 and 60 respectively. Starting to see this, as a more and more common thing with tour pros nowadays, where they are playing a mix of clubs, even if their deals do give them more money for playing a full bag. Sometimes people just have a preference as to their clubs. Ping isn't known for their wedges. That doesn't surprise me. I am more surprised about the three wood. From what I have heard, that the Ping G400 LST, the driver, and the three wood are great pieces of equipment. So this is just kind of surprising to me that he would not have that in the bag, but there's got to be some reason why. Either way, congrats for the win, and hopefully he can make a good push into the Masters this next year. Cool. Well, that's all I have for you guys today. Just as a note, I will be having some guests on in the next couple weeks. I think you guys will be really excited for them, so look forward for some one-off episodes every once in a while. My Monday show will stay pretty standard, so expect this to continue on Monday launches. And so we'll have the releases for the interviews probably on Thursdays, once I get the people tracked down and actually get the interviews done. So look forward to that. Otherwise, yeah, that's pretty much it. I look forward to hearing from you guys, and we'll see you next week. Peace.